Good morrow and welcome to the realm. I am epic fantasy author JV Hilliard, your friendly neighborhood scribe. And for those of you marking your first adventure into my realm, this is my vast and sweeping domain where I feature a variety of creatives on a weekly basis that specialize in a plethora of different art forms. And tonight we have some very unique guests, which I'll get into in a second, ones that I haven't had on the show before. So I hope you guys are going to have some fun with this. And as always, if you like what you hear, you can find me and my epic and dark fantasy books at jvhilliard.com or follow me at jvhilliardbooks on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube, or look for me as JV Hilliard on Facebook and Discord. So as we reach our witching hour, let me cast my message spell and control the magical airwaves of Blog Talk Radio. And for you D&D nerds out there like me, oh yes, like me, the duration of my transmutation magic is about 30 minutes. So set your sundials and let's enter the realm together. And today we'll be chronicling the adventures of fellow speculative fiction scribes, Jimmy and Dee Trick. But just as importantly about their books, they are also, I want to talk to them about their ghost hunting days. So we specifically chose this time of year, middle of October. We're going to run right into a Friday the 13th at the end of the week. Perfect time for these guys to come on. So, Jimmy D, well met and welcome to the realm. How are you doing this evening?
Doing great. Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
It is my pleasure. And before we get started, tell everybody how they can find you, what you guys write, and how they can get a hold of you.
Well, we run Goosebumps Paranormal Society. We do have a website. If you Google it, it'll just come right up. We also have a Facebook page. Also, if you Google that, it'll come right up too. It'll have our information on there too. So a lot of information on our website and Facebook page. So if you want to check it out, feel free. A lot of things to look at.
We are the authors of Weird, Spooky, Bizarre, Investigating the Unknown. We're paranormal investigators, and we wrote a book with some of our investigations in it. It's available on Amazon. 5-star reviews, we must say.
You hit on this. I've been doing this show for a while now, and I've had cinematographers on, I've had horror poets on, I've had obviously authors on, I've had actors and actresses on. This is the first time I've had ghost hunters on my show. So I'm going to open with that. I hope you guys don't mind. I am so fired up about this. I'm a big fan. I watch Ghost Adventures every Friday night with my dogs. My wife thinks I'm nuts, but we have our own little ritual. We sit down and watch Zach Bagans and those folks. And before that, there was Ghost Hunters, I really enjoyed that show for a while. And then they kind of bounced off the air and then came back on. So I've always wanted to do it. It's one of those things I've always wanted to do, but never have done. It's almost like you have to find somebody kooky enough to go and do that with you. But since, let's just talk about it, dive right into it. I've never had a ghost hunter here. How did you find yourself ghost hunting? I mean, was it a personal experience that drove you to do it, or was it just a curiosity, or both, or neither? Or how did you guys find each other, and how did you guys find each other into ghost hunting?
Go ahead, honey.
That's really interesting, Joe, because I got into it back in, I want to say, the early 2000s. My dad passed away in 1997, and my mom passed away in 2000. I lived in Michigan at the time. And when they both passed away, I had a lot of strange things happening to me and at my house that I could really only relate to something that they would do, because they were pranksters. My mom and dad were really pranksters. And when things happened, I could say, oh, my God, that's my mom and dad for sure. So that really got me thinking that, maybe there's a lot more to this, spirit world than we really know about. And so at the same time, back in the early 2000s, the Ghost Hunter shows started coming on TV, so I started watching those, and it really got me interested. So, I got kind of hooked back then, and so I started doing my own investigating. And then in 2010, I moved to Pittsburgh, where I met my now wife, Dee. And go ahead, Donnie. You want to take it from there? And how we got things going?
Well, we met, and he told me he was a paranormal investigator, and I thought, oh, okay, uh-huh. I was always interested, but didn't know much about it and, how to go about it or what all was involved. And so that's how I got started. And I always believed in an some sort of an afterlife, some paranormal. There's something else that's going on. And so now I get to do it with my husband. We go out and investigate. We've investigated numerous places. You name it, from, you know, just a cemetery to a private residence.
And the one thing about Pennsylvania, there is so much history here, whether it be the French and Indian War, Revolutionary War, Civil War. There are so many things going on in the state of Pennsylvania. And there's, oh, my God, countless places you can go to investigate and check things out. We just have so much fun doing it, really do.
Well, you know, you beg the question, well, several questions, I guess, you know, and you're right. I mean, Pennsylvania is a great place just based on the history of it, whether it's a war, whether it's a, you know, struggles, you know, with society. I mean, you get pretty much every Carnegie Library, I swear, in the city, you can make an argument, you know, someone says that there's a ghost in it. But, you know,
yeah.
How do you train to be a ghost hunter? I mean, is there like, and forgive me for being a total amateur here, I don't know the answer to those questions. And I think that my listeners are going to want to know that, like, you just can't go out and do it. So how do you know you're doing it right when you do it? Is there a training course? Do you find other paranormal investigators and ask them to do like a ride along where like actors do that with cops to pick up their habits? Or, you know, do you take a course, or how does that work?
Well, I have to say that, yes, there was a course that I took many, many years ago, 20 years ago. It was an online course about paranormal, how to do paranormal investigating. And they sent me a book, and you go through, it's like a workshop, and you go through it, and they had like little quizzes and tests at the end of each chapter, and you go through it, and it's basically, it just tells you the equipment that you can use, how to use it, what to look for, what kind of questions to ask, things like that. And through this particular course, I became, I guess, well, what they call a certified paranormal investigator. I have a certificate for that. Whether or not that means anything, I don't know. But but I did take the course. I learned a lot from this course. And I think it was from a company called Paranexus. I think that was the name of the company.
And I can vouch for this. He is certifiable.
Of course he is. I mean,
yes.
I mean, the guy hunts ghosts with you, but hey, look, you're with him. That's not, that's your choice. You figure that one out. But so let me, look, I'm certain you guys get asked this question all the time, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Like, what's the scariest thing you guys have seen? I mean, is it stuff that you're running out of a place and not going back, or, you know, is it something that's, it's not as scary once you're doing it and you're prepared for it? Or, but what's the scariest thing that's ever happened to you when you're on one of your hunts?
Well, it's funny because we always like to say we like Casper the Friendly Ghost. I break it down to that simple. We get phone calls about negative entities, evil things. We steer clear of that.
Yeah, somebody calls us and they start describing things to us and saying, this is happening and this is happening, and we're being pushed, being shoved, we're being hit,
you're
things
in danger.
Like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't really want to go into that house because we're afraid that, hey, we might bring something home with us. We don't want this in our house.
We don't want to test.
So we politely say, you know, we are not the people that you need for this investigation, but we know people that can help you, and we direct them to those particular people. Like Dee says, we like Casper the Friendly Ghost. We don't like the evil entities and the demons and things like that. That's not our thing.
No. There's people with a higher pay grade that do things like that. But I have to be honest with you. I don't like scary movies, gory movies, anything like that. But when we do these investigations, I have to be honest with you, I've never been scared. It's always very intriguing and interesting and
it's fascinating.
Yeah.
It really is fascinating.
Yes, and we go into it as really investigators to figure out, okay, what's going on here? Is it environmental? Is it, you know, this banging noise that you hear?
And we want to help these people that call us, we want to help them find out what's going on in their lives, and we will do the best we can. Our main thing that we have to do when we gather evidence is to debunk whatever is going on. Try to find a logical reason for things that are going on. If we can't find a logical reason, then we go on to the next step saying, well, it could be possibly paranormal.
When we do...
Have you ever brought anything home with you? Like, I know you mentioned that before, but like, is that a risk? I mean, have you ever had to... I'm going to use my terminology because I don't know how to say it. You rid yourself of a spirit that's followed you through... And how do you do that? Is it like an exorcist? Do you call a priest? Do you call a shaman? Do you call... How does that work? And has it happened to you?
So far, we've been lucky. Nothing has attached itself and come home with us. We've been with other investigators that it has happened to them. They can sage their home. They may call someone in to come in and do a cleansing of their house. Sometimes it's something that somebody bought at an antique store.
Yes, an energy could attach itself to an object, not just a person.
Yes.
Or a place or thing. It could be an object. And if they buy something like at an antique store, like Dee says, and bring it home, something might be with that object.
Yeah. So far we've been safe. We say I'm a nice Catholic girl, so I always have my rosaries with me. I wear them. We always say a prayer before we get started. And so we come from a place of good and definitely not evil. We're not antagonistic. I know that's I know you say you watch Zach. We're not fans of Zach because we don't antagonize.
Well, that's the thing with Zach Bagans. I mean, I know a lot of people watch him. I know he's real popular. I'm not a fan of his because he does a lot of antagonizing in that. And I think really you're just asking for trouble when you do that. So I know a lot of people like him, and that's fine. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's just not he's just not my kind of guy. That's all.
That's not our style. We come from a place of goodness, and we want to help, and we're truly interested in what really is going on. We do presentations, and in our PowerPoint, one of the slides is paranormal. What is paranormal? And the Webster definition is anything that can't be proven scientifically. So that could, so many things fall in the paranormal realm.
Yeah, so that basically means that all your scientists and your scholars, your professors, and all that, if they look at this event or circumstance that's happening and they cannot come up with a scientific explanation, then it can't be defined as being paranormal.
Could be
I get it.
A spirit, UFO, Bigfoot, any of these other cryptids too.
It's a wide area.
Yeah.
Well, let me switch subjects on you just a little bit, and it's not that far afield. This is an adjacent question. Obviously, you guys write books. And, I like the idea that I'm assuming you've memorialized some of these experiences in those books, hoping to shed light on those investigations and what you've done while also providing a form of entertainment, right? This is, you want people to read it because they're interested in the subject material. Are your books like factual, scientific, and you're writing it from a nonfiction perspective? Or is it something that you've taken an experience and written a fiction about it? A fiction novel about it, where you're telling a story through the eyes of a character, or is it both? Or how do you guys write? What form do you write? And how does this work? How do these gathered experiences work in your craft of writing?
Jim has written a fictional book based on some factual things.
The very first book that I wrote, it's been 10 years, something like that, but it's called Guilt Trip, and it's a fictional book, but it's about a man, it's based a lot on my backpacking experiences that I used to do when I was younger and do a lot of backpacking, so there's a lot of factual things in there dealing with that, but it's based on a man that has a huge tragedy in his life, and after so many years of feeling guilty about it, he decided to take a backpacking trip on the Appalachian Trail. And what he encountered on the Appalachian Trail, and I'll just give you a little touch of it, he encountered a Civil War ghost, a soldier, and it completely changed his life and the outcome. And after reading this book, it might even change the way that you look at life and death.
So that's one of the books.
That's a fictional book, though.
Yeah. Jim wrote that one on his own, and then the next one we wrote was Weird, Spooky, Bizarre, and those are it's all factual. It's our some of our cases that, and we take you along, and it's very conversational. It's an easy read because we tell you what happened. We kind of explain what we're doing, and
the way we wrote it is that we wrote it that we're bringing you, the reader, along as a like a virtual member of our group, Goosebumps Paranormal Society. So when you read it, you're part of our group, and you're analyzing the evidence as we analyze it, and in the end, we leave it to you to decide to believe whatever you want. If you want to believe it's paranormal, fine. If you don't, that's up to you.
We do that in our presentations as well. We present evidence, and this is how we feel, what we feel that it is. But everybody has their own opinion, and there's no experts. I mean, nobody knows for sure any of this stuff. So,
That's well said.
We don't like to call anybody out and say, well, you're wrong and we're right, because, I mean, we don't know, and we don't want to be arrogant and assume that, you know, what we believe is correct and what you believe is
right.
Incorrect.
When we do our presentations for these groups and that, we have a nice PowerPoint. We present the evidence as we have gathered it. We're not trying to convince people that this is the way it is. You know, you have to believe this, blah, 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 blah. No, this we're showing you what we got. If you want to believe it, that's fine. If you don't, I don't care. That's a freedom of choice. We don't have to agree on the same thing.
Yeah,
you know, I think a lot of listeners tonight are going to bombard me with questions in the morning. So I'm going to try to get some of these answers from you, because I keep trying to work in your authorship, and we keep going back to the ghost hunting because it's so intriguing and it's unique. It's something that, like Dee, you said it when Jimmy told you he's a paranormal investigator, you're like, okay, you know, and it's like,
uh-huh.
You're either into it or you're not, right? But like, have you ever had, and I'm just going to come out with it. Like I've been addicted. I got referred to the Exorcist files on Apple Podcasts by a friend of mine who is a former FBI agent. And he sent me the stuff, and he loved them. He and his wife were Kerouac-ing across the country. They just recently retired together, and they listened to them like the entire season. And so I'm assuming people are going to ask this question, so I'm going to ask it for them. Do you guys often take a Catholic priest? You mentioned that you were Catholic, D, or do you take an exorcist or someone at least that's a medium to these places, or do you stay away from that as well? I mean, and if you do, what's it like? And if you don't, why do you stay away from it?
We've had mediums come with us. We've had people that are sensitive that have gone with us. The priests we've had have come after we've done an investigation and we found something that we think is something that needs to be cleansed from the house.
Troublesome.
Yeah. We had a house exorcised from what was going on. But again, that was after we went and investigated and felt that that's what needed to be done.
Yeah, the priest came in and did, I guess you could say, an exorcism. He did a complete blessing and a cleansing of the entire house, every room, every closet, everything. And after that was done, the homeowners said that they felt much better. Things had lifted from that episode. So it was nice for us to feel that we could help somebody like that.
We've had mediums that came with us, and again, as we said, sensitive people, and neither one of us are sensitive. Neither one of us gets a feeling that, we walk in a room and go, oh, there, we have company. There's people with us. The mediums help us out with that. It's very fascinating. They can tell you conversations that they can have conversations and a little Q&A. That's what I said. It's very fascinating and intriguing. And
I guess I kind of wish sometimes that I was as sensitive where I could sense these things. But I guess when you look at it, it could be a blessing and a curse at the same time.
Yeah, that's what most of them have said. We'd like to turn. We want to turn off the voices. Yeah.
Yeah, my wife went to John Edward, I want to say about a year and a half ago.
Oh, no kidding, really?
He came through the area, you know, she went with the intent of, you know, hoping that she would find a connection back to her mother, who she'd lost not recently, but within, you know, the last decade. And then she didn't want that to happen when she got there. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure how much of that I believe. I mean, I have a very scientific mind. I look at things and say, look, if I can't prove them, that's okay. You know, and it's all, sort of like cryptozoology in the same sense. Folks go out there and look for, well, we find new species every day, and just because we don't know them doesn't mean they don't exist. You know,
right.
And, but
exactly.
Like, you know, I'm intrigued by it. And this guy, I watched a couple of, because I didn't know who he was, and, you know, I watched his show that she made me, she's like, you got to watch it. And I was like, all right, well, I'll sit down and watch it. And ridiculous. Like, the guy is, like, tap dead center. And even though you might think it's a parlor trick or a circus act, you know, people swear by him. And, hey, look, if it helps and you find some comfort in it or whatever, that's great. But, you know, she made it sound like he was honest, not necessarily helpful, like in a way, there were some experiences that he had had with certain guests that the spirits were combative, and it wasn't like you're going to go meet your long lost mother and she's going to say, I love you. It was more like, I have a message for you.
Yeah.
And you need, you're going to listen to me. And, you know, he would get upset when they would try to deny it, or, you know, if people weren't picking up on it, and it was almost like he was taking on the emotion of the spirit that he was connecting with, if that's the right terminology for it. But, you know, I was curious if you guys have been down that path. And it sounds to me like you said, you've already baked them into some of your investigations and things like that. But, you know, is that something that you guys, is that a tool in the tool chest, or you just think that that's something that happened, like, hey, if there's a medium that comes along with us, great. If there's not, we're still investigating this with all of our scientific equipment. Because it sounds to me like you guys have, you've trained for this, you've got the equipment for it, you're looking for proof as opposed to, you know, what might be, you know, just somebody's feelings or, you know, an intuition or whatever. You guys are looking at it from a more scientific place of mind. Am I correct in that? Or is this really a tool? Like, you want them to come with you because you think you're going to get better connectivity to the ghost that you're hunting?
I think when we're going to some place like a Hillview Manor that used to be an insane asylum, and we're investigating just to try and get some more evidence, we don't need a medium. But if somebody calls us and they're asking for help, like
more personal.
Yes. Then I think that it's always nice to include a medium.
Yeah, it's the particular, I guess, the particular case that will dictate whether we need to bring a medium along or not.
Yeah.
I get you. So, dumb question, and forgive me for asking it, because you've already partially answered this, D. But
none of these are dumb, Jeff.
All right, well, it's just curiosity is killing the cat. How do people react when you tell them what you do?
I have to say, most of the time people are fascinated. And really? Well, where do you do that? And
it's funny because my vehicle, in my back window, I've got decals that says Goosebumps Paranormal Society with my phone number. So I advertise, you know. And sometimes I'll be driving on a road and people drive by it, and they're waving me and they're giving me a thumbs up and all this stuff, like, hey, yeah, we're with you all the way. That's really cool, you know. But you get mixed emotions with people. Some people look at you like, you know, what the hell are you doing?
Go ahead.
You know,
go
they say, do you really believe that? Is, you know, come on.
We get it all.
But most of the time it is positive.
Mostly positive, yes.
All right, so I have to ask this too, because I don't know but what was the best money you've ever spent to be a ghost hunter? And I say that with respect. I don't want to know how much you spent, but I know what it's like to be an author, and, you know, you don't always make the money you think you're going to make when you're doing it. So, and ghost hunting, I'm certain, unless you do have a TV show, is not profitable. Right, you're doing it as for the love
or
the intrigue.
Yeah. We do not charge.
Yeah, so
we do not charge for our investigations at all. Everything is free to people.
All right,
because we just want to help.
From your perspective, your side of the table, what was the best money you've ever spent to become a ghost hunter? Was it the training? Was it a piece of equipment? was it something you just like, we need this, and all of a sudden now you've got EVPs and, you know, and voices and, or, I mean, what was that? Like, you know, what was the best thing you did to get you to where you are?
If you're talking about spending money on equipment, we've got a lot of equipment.
okay.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. You look at the guys on TV that do this stuff, we've got it all. We really do have it all. So I don't know if I could really just say it was a specific piece of equipment we spent money on. I think I would have to say maybe just going to, you know, we love going to Gettysburg. Maybe just spending the money to go to Gettysburg is probably our most profitable thing, because every time we've been to Gettysburg well over a dozen times, and every time we go.
Well, why Gettysburg?
Well, it's the most haunted place in America.
That's what they say. And
yeah.
We've gotten a lot of evidence when we've gone there. We've stayed at the Cashtown Inn, which was the Confederate headquarters. And
got some good stuff there.
Yeah.
We set a auto recorder on a rock at Spangler Spring, which spring is where both the North and South took turns getting fresh water. And they had a truce saying, okay, if you're going to get water, we're not going to shoot you, blah, 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 back and forth. And then after they did that, they would commence firing in. We set a recorder on the rock there and walked away and came back. Of course, when we were there, we heard nothing. But when we played the recorder back, all you hear was gunshots in the battle. It was just unbelievable what we heard.
You know,
I am
so obtuse. I should have had you guys prepare something so that the audience could hear it. I'm going to have you back on and do a deeper dive so that people can. Because
sure.
This is, it's almost like, I'm assuming you guys have thermal cameras. I'm assuming you guys have, you know, video and audio recordings of this stuff. I'm certain you guys have experiential things you can share. You know, and it's hard to do some of that over like a blog talk radio, right? Because it's all audio.
Sure. Yeah.
But, you know, I would love for my listeners to hear some of that stuff, because, again, you know, this show is listened to by two primary demographics. You got the one that are readers that want to read your stuff, that after tonight are going to say, hey, it's Halloween time, I'm going to go out and buy their, and I hope that happens for you. You know, and then the other side,
awesome,
which is really, yeah, it's authors that are like, oh, this is a pretty cool idea. Maybe I should do a ghost hunt and come up with my own story too. You know, and so I'm going to get people reaching out to me to get a hold of you two. But I almost want you to come back on and do another one of these where you can present some evidence. I think that people would love that. I guarantee you I'm going to get hit up for it, you know, as after the show anyway. So I might as well just, you know, state it
and
from the
jump. And that's
exactly
what we do it's exactly what we do in our presentations for events. We have a PowerPoint, and we play a lot of sound bites, a lot of video things, to show people this is the evidence that we have gathered. You can decide what you want to after, you know, whatever you want to believe. That's fine. But yeah, we got a lot of evidence.
I have one more thing to tell you too, Joe. Our last name really is Trick. I was a nice Italian girl until I married him 9.5 years ago. But yeah, it's really Trick. And this is our season, Trick or Treat.
Trick or Treat. Yeah. Trick is a German name.
Yeah.
So,
So we wrote this book together, so the author's name is J.D. Trick. He's the J, I'm the D, and
yes,
together we're the Tricks.
Weird split are on Amazon.
Well, hey,
yeah.
Yeah, look, well, I'm going to ask you guys, you know, because we're coming to the end of our show. We got so wrapped up in it, I didn't even get to a lightning round, so I apologize for that. I promise you I'll put you through one of those next time.
Okay.
But before we leave, tell everybody how they can get a hold of you one more time.
Goosebumps Paranormal Society. On Facebook?
We have a Facebook page. Yeah. You could just, you know, type in, if you got Facebook, just type it in, Goosebumps Paranormal Society. What we used to do is go live on our investigations on Facebook. And so if something happened while we were there, you would see it as it happened too. It's
unedited.
Not, yeah, unedited. Not like the TV shows where they would edit and show you what they wanted to see. If we saw it live, you saw it live. That's the way it was.
You saw it. Well, thanks, guys. I got to cut you off because I got 15 seconds.
Yep.
I got to get to the end. But thank you very much for being on the
show
and to our followers.
Amazon.
To our followers, thanks again for lending us your ear tonight. Until next time, I am JV Hilliard, and may your gods go with you.